Did you know Instacart delivers more than groceries? You can get tech, beauty, office supplies, sporting goods, and more, all delivered right to your door in as fast as an hour. So whether you're cooking dinner or your phone charger is cooked, you can save yourself multiple trips by shopping over 1,000 stores in the Instacart app. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I heard Stephen A. Smith earlier today on ESPN, of course, was talking about the Lamar Jackson contract situation. And we all saw the article that came out the other day that Lamar keeps on countering back with fully guaranteed contract offers. And the Ravens, at one point, they offered him a five-year, $250 million contract, but only $133 million were guaranteed. And when I say only, I mean that in football terms. Heck, Hickey, if someone offered us $5 million guaranteed, or heck, how about just $1.5 million guaranteed, I think we would both be giving them two thumbs up, and maybe I would let you get like $100,000 or something like that.
I would have felt slighted, that's for sure.
Yeah. But you know, it's different in NFL standards. So that was the news yesterday. And then today, Stephen A. Smith goes on ESPN, and he said someone in Lamar Jackson camp reached out to him. And he said that their latest offer was $133 million guaranteed, which goes in line with the reporting of the other article that was just put out there. And it went on to say this, though, that the person that Stephen A. Smith was talking to gave two other pieces of information, that Lamar has never asked or ever countered for a fully guaranteed contract, and that it also goes back, remember last week when we got into how much was he actually consulted on the hiring of Todd Monken to be the next offensive coordinator, and there was different reports and conflicting reports. One, he was given the opportunity, and then the other, he wasn't really consulted in it. Well, according to Stephen A. Smith, this person that he talked to from Lamar Jackson camp, Todd Monken, who ended up being the hire, the Ravens never consulted Lamar about it. So I don't know what is true and what is false, but when you kind of link all these reports together and merge them all together, I actually got to give you credit, Hickey, because I think you were the first person to say this, and it was probably going back, I want to say to last offseason, where you just asked the simple question, are the Ravens lowballing Lamar Jackson? And to the common person like you and I, when you hear $133 million guaranteed and it's $250 million over 5 years, it's like, okay, I don't want to hear about how they're lowballing him. But in terms of the guaranteed scale or what quarterbacks are paid from a guaranteed standpoint in the NFL, for a guy that has won a unanimous MVP, $133 million only guaranteed out of the $250, it does seem a little bit low to me, Hickey.
Yeah, that's a very, very big, significant part of that contract that is out there for the taking for the Ravens.
And the more and more this goes on, the more and more it seems like the Ravens are going to try to make Lamar look like he's the bad guy here. And they're also fine with him leaving the organization. Because the last year, all we've heard is Lamar's wanted a fully guaranteed deal. That's all we've heard ever since the Deshaun Watson contract. And just because Lamar's camp, and I don't even know who's in Lamar's camp because it's him and his mom. So I don't know who Stephen A. Smith did talk to. But whoever that person is went out of their way to say, we never asked for a fully guaranteed deal. And then also giving that the latest offer was $133 million guaranteed, it kind of does provide some validity to yesterday's report, but then the one discrepancy is, does he actually want the fully guaranteed deal or not? And maybe this is kind of just combining both of the reports, Hickey. Like, maybe the part that was wrong in the report the other day was that every counter has been fully guaranteed. Like, would it shock me if Lamar at the start, the moment Deshaun Watson got the fully guaranteed deal, said, I want a fully guaranteed contract? No, that would make sense. Because if you're Lamar You're saying, I've done more in a football field than Deshaun Watson. I won a unanimous MVP. Only two players have done in the history of the NFL. What has he done? Deshaun Watson, and I know it's tough to remove everything off the field, but when we just viewed Deshaun Watson, the football player, like we all viewed him as a great player. And then a lot did change with everything that we did find out that may have happened off the field. So if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'd be like, I've done everything right off the field. I've won a unanimous MVP. We have consistently gone to the playoffs under my reign. The entire offense is built around me. Yeah, I would ask for the fully guaranteed deal. The question just becomes, when they kept on coming back to you and you kept on countering, like, did you just go from like 250 fully guaranteed down to 230, then down to 220, then down to like 210? Or were you saying, okay, I'm going to ask high, it didn't work, and then offering a contract that wasn't fully guaranteed? Because his camp, whoever's in that camp, did point out that that $133 million guaranteed was their latest offer. Like, he acknowledged that. It was in the article yesterday. But then the discrepancy becomes on the fully guaranteed part. And I just wonder, when Lamar has countered Hickey, if it's always been a fully guaranteed deal.
My guess would be yes, just because what you said before. If you're Lamar Jackson, you look at Deshaun Watson, what he got for on the field, right, where Lamar has accomplished more, same amount of playoff wins. He has an MVP. Deshaun Watson does not. And he got that $230 million guaranteed deal with obviously all the legal and, or I guess at this point, civil cases hanging over his head.
Yeah.
If you're Lamar Jackson, you could say, I never got in trouble off the field. The Browns clearly, you know, we're all in on their guy. You should be all in on me. And I think if there's any counters, maybe it went down, like you said, a little bit, 230, 220, but all guaranteed.
Right, because it doesn't make sense if you're just saying, like, it's not a counter. If you come to me and you go, would you accept this deal of, let's say, $140 million guaranteed? And I go, nope, I want a fully guaranteed deal of, let's just say, $230 million. And then if you come back with a different offer, nope, I want the fully guaranteed deal of $230 million. Like, you're not countering if you're Lamar Jackson. So if it is true that he's only been countering a fully guaranteed deals, he's going to have to be shrinking and shrinking, you would think, in that price. I don't know on this one, but if I had to just take a guess, I kind of do believe what the person, whoever this person is, said to Stephen A. Smith. I don't know if it's been, we've never asked for a fully guaranteed deal like they claim, but on the countering part, I don't know if every counter has been fully guaranteed. Like, that's just what my gut tells me on this. But regardless of what is true and what isn't true, one thing is clear, Hickey, and we've both been talking about this for a while. A divorce is coming. It's just, when is that divorce coming? And the more and more that this goes on, the more and more that it makes sense that Lamar is ready to move on, it feels like. And the Ravens, probably more so than what people would think, because we always give them the benefit of the doubt with how good of an organization they've been for the last 20 years. It seems like they're calling their shot, and they're saying, yeah, we're trying to make Lamar make that decision to request a trade and not make us look like we're the bad guys. Because they could just sit behind, well, we offered him $250 million over 5 years, even though only 133 are fully guaranteed, but he wasn't willing to cooperate. I think the Ravens are really trying to make Lamar request that trade. And if he does request that trade, it's not going to be like Russell Wilson, where it's like, oh, they're going to wait a year and then trade him. I then do think it would happen this offseason.
But it goes back to a conversation we had earlier this week when it comes to like Lamar encountering. It's like, if you're Lamar and you feel you have the leverage and you feel like maybe not the Ravens, but another team will give you in the neighborhood of $230 guaranteed. Why budge? Like if we're going back and forth, and they say $133 guaranteed, and you're saying $230, and they say, I don't know, $140 guaranteed, and you're saying $230. Like, if you're Lamar, and you think someone will give it to you, there's, you know, when it comes to like who, you know, how is actually the contractions to go back and forth, and who was countering with what, there's really no reason for Lamar to kind of lower his price down if you think someone else will pay it eventually.
And he has all the leverage, even if he doesn't get that fully guaranteed deal. Here's why. You go to a new team, they give you up all that draft capital. And I don't know if this is the Ravens' best and final offer of $130 million guaranteed. But I could guarantee you that there will be another team out there, even if the contract isn't fully guaranteed, that will give him more than $130 million guaranteed. Like, Deshaun Watson's contract was $230 fully guaranteed. Kyler Murray, $189.5 guaranteed millions of dollars. Russell Wilson, 165. Aaron Rodgers, 150.8. Josh Allen, 150. Patrick Mahomes, 141.5. And then Matthew Stafford was at 130. So you had six quarterbacks that are getting more than $133 million guaranteed. And I'm not saying Lamar is better than every one of those quarterbacks, because he's not better than Rodgers. I would say right now he's not better than Josh Allen. We know he's not better than Mahomes. But is he better than Kyler Murray? Absolutely. Kyler Murray shows you don't have to be great to get this ridiculous contract in our standards. Or how many times do we talk about this where players, and I think Lamar is deserving, but players that aren't deserving get paid because it's what the market dictates, even when you're just sometimes good.
Absolutely. And even like to your point, if a team like the Jets, trade for Lamar, maybe it's not like it's a 230 guarantee, but maybe it's 200 of the 230.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about 80% of the contract guarantee compared to, I mean, you do the quick math, 133 out of 250. It's basically a little more than 50% guarantee. That's a big difference. So it's like if you're Lamar, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not 100% guaranteed like Deshaun Watson got, but if you feel 80, 85% is guaranteed, I think that's a deal that he'd accept.
Now, I do believe in Lamar, but just with recent history, does this maybe go back to what we were just talking about earlier with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson? Like, John Harbaugh knows as much about Lamar Jackson than anybody. And you looked at that relationship. Remember the conversation about Lamar before he entered the league. Like, you had people like Bill Polian. It was just so stupid. Like, he has to change positions. He has to be a running back. He has to be a wide receiver. It was so stupid. I remember trashing it when I did the weekend overnights. But then he goes to Baltimore. Remember, last pick in the first round, and then first true year as a starter, wins the unanimous MVP. And remember the year before that, it wasn't necessarily popular at the end of the season that Harbaugh went to Lamar Jackson. Because even though it did help them at the end of the season, in the regular season, but in that playoff game against the Chargers, he was horrible and the fans were chanting for Joe Flacco. But Harbaugh remained loyal and said, no, this experience is going to help him out in the future. And the next year, the guy wins unanimous MVP. So I don't think that this is going to be the case, but it does make you wonder, like, look at Pete Carroll, how much he basically told you, we're not going to cave to all the demands of Russell Wilson. They trade Russell Wilson. Everyone's saying that the Seahawks were a joke, a disaster. They ended up making the playoffs this year without Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson was a disaster. You just wonder if that kind of repeats itself here, or maybe the Ravens are telling you something by lowballing him that is pretty significant that I think a lot of us right now are ignoring with Lamar Jackson.
And look, I mean, we talk about a lot, just the injury the last 2 years has been concerning, and you're right, like, if it's never easy to move off of a guy of Lamar Jackson's
so
talent.
Young, too.
And it absolutely is. But right, if you're the Ravens, if you look at kind of the blueprint for Seattle, I guess makes it, in theory, a little easier to say, you know what, we'll take the 2-3 first-round picks. You go, you know, give that draft capital, give him whatever he wants, $200 million guaranteed, knock yourself out.
And let me be clear about this, because I know that I was just arguing another point just to ask the question. I didn't believe in that argument, but when you look at Lamar, I think it would be stupid. If the Ravens don't get this done, I don't think they're going to get this done. It would be stupid. Because this guy is 26 years old. He's been so explosive in this league. A talent like that, I'm not looking to run out of the building. And for whatever the reasons are, and maybe this is more owner-driven in Steve Bisciotti, that he's not willing to give a fully guaranteed deal, if that is what is the true sticking point. Now, maybe it's DaCosta and Harbaugh driven. Like, we don't know. Like, I don't know who is preventing this deal from happening in Baltimore, because you could argue those three guys, and then you may just say it could actually just be Lamar. But all I know is so far, it seems like, just with what happened yesterday, that the Ravens are trying to make Lamar look to be the bad guy here, and I don't think Lamar is the bad guy here. I really do not believe that Lamar Jackson is in the wrong here. And if that offer is true, and it seems like that is true, Hickey, like, you could agree that $250 million, $133 million guaranteed, it seems like that's a legit offer because that was basically coming from the Ravens in that article because that was like a Ravens kind of spin yesterday. And then today someone talks to Stephen A. in the Lamar camp and says, yeah, their last offer was $133 million guaranteed. That's a bad offer. That's an offer that's not going to get the deal done. Like, are you even trying to get a deal done if you're the Ravens?
That's, again, and it goes back to the main point we talked about last year, low ball. They've talked about, and they've been proud, banging their chest, we're at the table. We want to negotiate with Lamar. He's the one not cooperating. And maybe we're starting to see why, because maybe the first initial offers, he's looking at it, almost laughing them out of the building. Because, like, yeah, you can want to negotiate, but if we're talking about these low of prices you want to give me, it's not even worth talking with you.
And you know what's funny? If you probably would have just told me, just on the surface, what the offer was without knowing what all the other guaranteed money was that the other quarterbacks were getting, if you told me $250 million, $133 is guaranteed, I'd probably say, yeah, that's a fair offer. But when you further dig into it, that ain't a fair offer. So are the Ravens even willing at this point to give a better offer? We'll have to wait and see. Lomas Brown will join us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Detroit Lions.
All right, let's go out to Detroit right now and welcome in one of the greatest trombone players of all time. He was also a pretty damn good offensive tackle for the Lions and now is a part of their radio network. And that is the always entertaining Lomas Brown. Lomas, how you been?
I'm good. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So on the QB carousel, we got to start you off with Jared Goff. Just how do you look back at the season he had? Because I was really impressed out of the Lions quarterback this year.
Hey, I'm telling you, he finished the season so great. I could say over the last probably, I'd say 6 to 8 games of the season, he was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, at least top 4, top 5 quarterback pretty much the whole year. And that's just been Jared, you know, just his cool, calm demeanor that he has. And I think it rubs off on the rest of the guys in that huddle. And he has some weapons. I mean, Detroit has done a great job of surrounding him with some weapons, so the load isn't just on him. So it's been great to see this team grow throughout the year, and it's been great to see Jared leading this team, and hopefully he'll be leading it for the next 5-6 years.
Well, that's the big question, because when you saw Jared Goff was traded as basically what I thought was a throw-in in the Stafford deal, it was like, all right, I'll be there for a few years, and then they'll go get their next quarterback of the future. Where's your confidence? And I know he has 2 years left in his contract that he could be the long-term quarterback of the Lions.
I mean, why not? I mean, right now, and again, it's going to come down to price, and it's going to come down to whether Detroit wants to get a quarterback that's a dual-threat quarterback, whether Detroit wants to go to that type of offense, whether that type of quarterback fits Ben Johnson better, or, I mean, again, if not, I just think Jared has made a case for himself to be the quarterback and get another contract here in Detroit. I mean, again, I know they're going to have to deal with the salary cap, and we know how the quarterback salaries are just escalating now. But, again, I think he's played his way to at least putting that conversation out there for the front office. And, look, we got the 6th pick, the 18th pick. I don't think we have to spend those picks on the quarterback. That's a good thing.
Now, you don't think they have to spend those picks on the quarterback, but just because you think that doesn't mean that's what the team is going to do, Lomas Brown. Do you think there is a chance that either 6 or 18 they take a quarterback?
You know what? I mean, yeah, it is a chance. You know, I'll say that. Yes, it is. I mean, again, you know, Drew was here before the regime came in. So, you know, that. So it is a possibility that can happen. But I just don't see it. I just don't see why would you spend that high a pick, especially when we need it on the defensive side of the ball. That was our struggle this year, was the defensive side of the ball. So to me, you load up on defense and you get a quarterback later in the draft. Not to say you don't get a quarterback, but you can look later.
Here's the interesting part to me about that. Like at six, I don't think Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud are going to be available. Those to me are the two best quarterbacks in the draft. But if a quarterback starts to fall, whether that's Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, and they're sitting there at 18 and like that quarterback's still there at 15, I then wonder if they move up and just go, okay, this is our second first round pick. Let's just then go get that guy. We could still play Jared next year and eventually – if we really do like what Richardson or Levis do in practice, then we can hand the baton over to them down the road.
Yeah, that sounds like a great long-term plan, but I think they're thinking in the short term right now. I mean, again, you got a fan base. Think about it, man. It's been 30 going on 31 years since we won a playoff game, you know, since the 50s, since we won a championship. So you got a dedicated fan base that's ready for things to happen now. And I just think with how the team finished up last season, you know, again, and you're right, you never know going from season to season. I always say each team, I don't care who you bring back, every team is going to be different. But if that team could just, you know, capture what they had towards the end of the season, I think you just look at the defensive side of the ball right now, you go heavy, and you look at one of the quarterbacks. You're right, they might fall, but I just don't think you look at them in the first round. I think you look at them in round, because you got a number of other picks, too, that you could probably trade up, and maybe you trade up in the second round or the third round. But I just don't see you doing it in the first round to take a quarterback this year.
We all know Lomas Brown, the rookie years that Aiden Hutchinson and James Houston did have.
Yes,
outside
sir.
Of those two players, yes, like how many keepers do you think are on this defensive side of the ball?
Man, you got to start with little Rodrigo.
Yeah.
You know, yes, man, he is a little stud. Man, and we got some secondary help. I mean, Jeff Okuda, he started off the season hot and kind of fell off towards the end of the season. But all the Richards, we got a lot of Jerry Jacobs, and it's a lot of those other guys that stepped up this year. I just can't recall their names right now that really made our secondary kind of formidable. You know, Alex, I thought Alex Anzalone, I thought he had a strong year this year. So it's just more that we need to keep adding on the defensive side of the ball. But, again, I think they got something to start with. Like you say, we got two edge rushers. And, man, that's great when you got two edge rushers besides pushing that pressure and making the quarterback step up in the pocket.
And honestly, Lomas, I think a lot of people are going to pick them to win that division because I think a lot of people believe that Rodgers is on the verge of getting traded. The Vikings, they were a good team this year, but I don't think they were as great as what their record said they are, and they have defensive concerns, and the Bears are still a long ways away. You know, this is the first time in a while there's a lot of pressure on the Lions entering this season.
Yeah, it is, but even, and I like to say this, even if Rodgers stayed, who cares now? We got
you beat him twice.
Yeah, so we got, he don't own us like he owns the Bears, so so we gotten over that. But you're right. I think I never thought we should have beat Minnesota both times this year. Think about it. The one game that Dan Campbell is still kicking himself about is that Minnesota game.
Yeah.
We know we should have won that game when we played them at Minnesota. So, again, that's a team that I think we play evenly with. So you're right. The North is up for grabs. In my mind, the North is up for grabs next year, and the Lions got just as good a chance as any of them to get that and capture that and get home field. That's what it's got to be all about. Win the division, get home field, get a home field playoff game.
The belief level of Dan Campbell, I know everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid. This is going to be a big year because we're going to see if there's any regression from the strong finish that they had. What makes you believe that Dan Campbell's the right guy for the job?
Well, first of all, that's my boy. You know, we played together for 2 years, so that's my boy. So, you know, I didn't know he had it in him back there when he was in the second year when we were back with the Giants, but you just knew it was something about him. But it just, again, man, it's just what he pours into this, man, and how the players respect him. and how the players are willing to fight and play. Because the one thing you know, if you play a Detroit Lion team, you got to play 60 minutes. You know, you got to go the whole game, and you're going to leave up lumped up. You're going to leave with bruises after you play the Lions. So that's good, man, that they're known for being a tough young team. And that's all strictly because of Dan and his beliefs. Because think about it, they went through a stretch where we were 1-6. 1-6. So you could have threw the towel, could have definitely been thrown in at that point right there. And they fought to win, what, 8 out of the next 9 or something like that. So, you know, it did a great job of really just turning things around and keeping those guys grounded, especially a lot of young guys. And that's the key. So I think he is the guy.
Lomas Brown, when you guys played together in the early 2000s with the Giants, was he biting off kneecaps then and drinking a ridiculous amount of coffee?
You know, I think he did get a couple of elbows. I don't know if he went as far down as the kneecaps, but I remember a couple of elbows getting shattered and everything. And yes, man, the dude was always juiced up, always, man. So you know it takes a large amount of coffee to keep him juiced up like that.
Well, here's the multi-million-dollar question. It seems like the Ravens and Lamar aren't in a good spot. You know, if the Ravens are going to try to move Lamar, they probably trade him to the NFC. If he's available, would you give up 2 or 3 first-round picks to go get Lamar if you're the Lions?
In a heartbeat, yes. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. Now, see, I like that scenario. More than I like a draft pick. I love that scenario. Absolutely, man. That's generational now. That's a generational talent right there. And, man, you just know what you could do with that. Oh, my goodness, man. Him, and then you got Jameis Williams. Oh, my goodness, man. That can be, So, yes, in a heartbeat.
Thank you so much, right, Jared Goff? If that's the case.
I'm sorry, man. He would understand. He knows it's a business.
Lomas Brown, always great to catch up with you. How's the trombone been lately? You've been playing the trombone lately?
You know what? No, I haven't. I haven't gotten the lungs ready for that yet, but I do. I said I'm going to do that. And one day.
Thanks so much, Lomas. You're the best.
Take care.
There you go. Lomas Brown joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio with a little QB carousel featuring the Lions. We will put the Dolphins on the QB carousel coming up later at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. We will get to a news brief on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will... Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get to Justin Termini. But first, I want to get to this report that Ack was just talking about, and we just saw it as well, that the Rams have had talks about 6-time Pro Bowl quarterback Jalen Ramsey, and league sources now believe it is very likely Ramsey is dealt in the coming weeks. Ramsey, who is 28, according to Tom Pelissero, is due $17 million in 2023, on a front-loaded deal that averages $20 million, and L.A. is clearing cap space. You remember the two big deals for secondary players recently, Jamal Adams, which has been a disaster in Seattle, and then Jalen Ramsey, who won a Super Bowl. But last year, I didn't think Jalen Ramsey was up to normal Jalen Ramsey standard. And I know, right, PFF, you kind of take everything with the grain of salt. I think PFF does a lot of good work, but then there's sometimes they try to tell you that a player is better than what he actually is. I guess, and I'm not too familiar with this, but PFF does like a top 101 players of 2022 list, and they put Jalen Ramsey, Hickey, as the 37th best player that they rated in football last year. Like, when I thought we talked a lot about Jalen Ramsey last year, where there were moments where he did not look all that great on a football field. The 37th best player in football, that seems a little bit high to me, no?
I guess what I'll say in sort of defense of Jalen Ramsey is, I'll be honest, the Rams, a lot of their issues were on offense, and a lot of, feel like, the attention was on the offense and really lack thereof, where I honestly can't pretend to sit here and, you know, chart and remember a lot of how Jalen Ramsey played last year. So I feel like he would honestly maybe flew under the radar in part just because the Rams were out of it so fast. And all the issues, or anytime we talked to the Rams, it was Matthew Stafford getting injured, John Wolford, Baker Mayfield comes in. Is Sean McVay going to retire? You know, their injuries on offense. I think there's a lot more of that than kind of zoning in more on their defense, is what I'll say.
So only three players, by the way, on the Rams made the top 101 list. Do you have any guess who the three players were this year?
Well, Jalen Ramsey is number one.
If you can't get that one right, then there's problems.
I will say Bobby Wagner.
Yes, he was actually the highest rated player on the Rams this year. He was at 30th.
It's not Cooper Kupp.
No.
Okay.
This should be pretty easy.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, but Donald only played 11 games this year. He's at 48, which just shows you how, I don't know what the standard is for this list, but it's got games played like half the matter. The fact that Aaron Donald, who is always on any types of these lists, you would think a top 10 player in the NFL, the fact that he has fallen to 48, even on the PFF standard, shows you that's basically saying, yeah, Aaron Donald, we know how great he is and we know what he could do. He had 5 sacks in 11 games. He did not have a great Aaron Donald year, and obviously because a lot of it was he wasn't on the field for a lot of it, Hickey.
Well, yeah, missing, 6 games will kind of do it for you, but yeah, that was, I mean, the Rams' entire year could just be summed up by that.
By the way, PFF also released this. I saw this graphic today.
Okay.
Their top 10 wide receivers from the 2022 season.
Okay.
I guess they put all this stuff out today or within the last week. That's why I keep on seeing it. Do you think you could name the top 10 receivers in football this past year?
According to
PFF.
PFF.
I think, and I know usually you say when I put you on the spot like this, you don't. It is a tough situation. I'll say you get, you know what? I think you should get all but one. Maybe you won't get two.
Okay.
I think you can get 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I'm going to believe in you, Hickey.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10, 80%. PFF. My guy, hot take, Hickey.
PFFs.
Yes, not your
rankings. List, which is always, like I said, you got to take a, you know, you got to think a little bit differently than you would a normal
now,
top 10 list.
Objectively, I don't really think, you may disagree with the order, but I don't think there is that much to debate here.
Okay, there's not any egregious either players left off or players in there that shouldn't be.
Like, for example, I'll just tell you one that's not on the list. DeAndre Hopkins is not on the list. DeAndre Hopkins, is he a top 10 wide receiver in football? Absolutely. But he missed the first 6 games of the year, you know, so it's kind of tough when you're rating it. And then also at the end of the season, didn't have Kyler Murray to put him in the top 10 for this year.
Right. Okay.
This is just based off this past year.
Justin Jefferson going on a limb.
He was ranked number 2.
Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill, is he number 1?
Yes. So there you go. 2 down, 8 to go.
Is Stephon Diggs a top 10 receiver according to PFF?
Yes, he is in at number 5. Now, hold on. Give me 2 seconds. I'm just going to write down the numbers that you got, because when this goes further and further, me remembering who you got, I do not trust my memory on this. So far, you got Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Stephon Diggs. Go ahead.
I will go with A.J. Brown.
Correctamundo. You want to take a guess on what the number was?
3.
4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to guess who 3 is then? You got 1 Tyreek Hill, 2 Justin Jefferson. You said 4 A.J. Brown. You have 5 Stephon Diggs, according to PFF. 3 is obvious.
3 is obvious, which makes my life even
tougher.
Tougher.
Now on the
trying
spot.
Because
now
on
you
the
panic.
Spot. Yes, I definitely am not calm right now, trying to think of who.
You sound calm.
Can I? Okay, I will say that I'm not guessing this.
You
want to
phone
3.
A friend?
I will say in a top 10.
It's not outrageous, by the way. If that's your theory that this is like outrageous, you're
No.
You're cold.
I'm just right now blanking on some names. So I'm just going to say another name that I'm not going to say number 3, but I'm going to say in the top 10, Ja'Marr Chase.
That would be correct. Now, that would be crazy to say he's 3, but he's actually 7, according
Injuries,
to PFF.
Injuries, yeah. Not as great as the rookie year he had, that's for sure. Okay, so we're still undefeated in terms of names.
You have Tyreek Hill. You have Justin Jefferson. Those are 1-2 according to PFF. You have 5, who was Stephon Diggs. You had 7, who was Ja'Marr Chase, and you also said A.J. Brown, who was in at 4.
Here's my guess for number 3. I have a name. Okay. Davante Adams. Okay. All right. Come on. Come on.
It would kind of be funny if you got it wrong and I was just clapping to make you think that you got it right.
You fool.
But yes, you got that one right. That was the obvious one. So far, you have Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs. That was 1 through 5 according to PFF. And then you got 7th, who was Ja'Marr Chase. So you have 4 to go. And this is where it gets tricky. Now, you only need 2 more to pass my standards.
Yes. I am really... You know what? I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to go with a teammate of a name I already mentioned.
Okay.
Jaylen Waddle.
Well done.
Okay, come on. Come on.
You got him. He is in at number 9, according to PFF. So 3 more to go. According to PFF, you're looking at the 6th best receiver in football, the 8th best receiver in football, and the 10th best wide receiver in football. There is one name on here that once you say it, like once I tell you, you'd be like, ah, it's not egregious, but I don't think you would ever guess it.
Okay.
But maybe I'll be wrong on this one.
This one I am, so I will say, the least confident. Deebo Samuel.
He is not.
Mm.
Missed a lot of games, remember.
I know. I was a little nervous about the time, but I figured with some others, you know, Ja'Marr Chase missed a decent, I guess, about 3 games. So, okay. No Deebo. 3 names here. I had one in my head, and I just...
Do you want a hint? Or is it too early for hints?
Too early for hints.
Okay. You only got 3 left.
I know. So. I know. Okay, fine. Well, I'll take a hint.
One of these guys...
Let's just speed this along.
We talked about. We talked about today on the show.
DK Metcalf.
Good guess, but no.
Interesting.
Wrong team.
Wrong team.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this guy on the show today. He may have been brought up in the last hour. We didn't talk about him long, but he was talked about.
Not Cooper Kupp.
No.
I'm just making sure. We just talked to the Rams. I'm just making sure.
No.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
Okay.
He was in at number 6.
Ooh, okay.
So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You got 8. There's 2 more.
8 and 10, I think, is...
8 and 10. So Tyreek Hill, according to PFF, is the best wide receiver in football. Then Justin Jefferson, 2. Davante Adams, 3. A.J. Brown, 4. Stephon Diggs, 5. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6. Ja'Marr Chase, 7th. Name you did not guess, 8. You got Jaylen Waddle, 9. And then a name that you did not guess is in at number 10.
CeeDee Lamb.
So you're looking at 8 and 10.
Okay.
He's in at number 8.
Okay, come on. One more here.
So one more. This is the one that I would... When I say it, you'll be like, okay, I could see it. But I don't think you would ever guess it. Like, if you guess this one, I would be really surprised.
Okay, one guess. Can I ask one question? What conference? That would give it away.
Ask for another. Wait, let me ask you this. You predict which conference it's in.
I have no idea. That's all I was asking.
But okay. So you don't. It's not okay. I don't know if you were between two guys.
No. No.
All right. I'll give you the conference. I'm in a good mood. It's a Friday. AFC.
AFC conference.
I would be stunned if you got this guy.
You know what? I got one guess.
Hold on.
Mm.
Wait. I actually think you're gonna get it here. What's your one guess?
Now now I got a few names in my mind.
Well, just go with the first one.
I'll go with the first one. Probably wrong. I'll say George Pickens.
No.
I was going out on a limb at this point.
Yeah, well, you're going to be really upset.
Garrett Wilson.
Yep. See?
Damn it.
You drafted, you guessed the rookie
stupid.
Who wasn't the rookie of the year. You know, now.
That was stupid.
That's fine. You did a heck of a job here. You did a really good job.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, you should be, well, other than the last one, you did a good job.
Wow.
Yeah, so those are the top 10 receivers in football, according to PFF.
I think you're right, and really not hard to argue.
And, yeah.
It's kind of surprising.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you could argue, like, DJ Moore, maybe. You know, I know Keenan Allen was in and out of the lineup, so it's tough to argue him this year. DeAndre Hopkins missed the first 6 games of the season.
Terry McLaurin and no quarterback.
Yeah, that is true. Terry Poor McLaurin guy. Is also a tremendous wide receiver in this league. Trying to think anyone else that is egregious on this one. No one of the Broncos. I think.
Like, T. Higgins had a solid year. We've already had one pair of teammates in there. With
yeah.
Waddle and Hill, but.
Which, by the way.
I wouldn't say it's egregious that he's not in the top 10 category.
It's funny you bring up T. Higgins. We've seen quarterbacks for years take the most amount of money possible.
Mm-hmm.
And like Brady's right, that one guy that was praised for taking less. I wonder what Joe Burrow's contract's going to look like. Like, I wonder if he shaves off a little money because he knows that his, you know, Chase isn't going anywhere, Jamar Chase. But if you're Joe Burrow, do you say, I have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Let's make sure that we keep both of them. Like, nothing against Tyler Boyd. He's phenomenal, but you'd rather keep T. Higgins and Jamar Chase compared to it just being Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd. Because one of those guys are going to have to end up on the outside looking in. And I just wonder if Burrow says, okay, I'll take a little less. I know that like never happens, but I'll take a little less to make sure
would it surprise
that we
you?
Keep our guys. For Burrow, no. Because I think Burrow's just a different dude. And he's got that cool, calm, confident swagger. And I guess since we always ask for this, it never happens. Like, I can understand why it would surprise some people. But if that guy says, like, I'll take $5 million less a year, maybe that $5 million is the difference in keeping both Jamar Chase and T. Higgins or helping keeping both of them on the team.